Hello, my friends. Listen, we are sharing a sermon with you today that will affect your life. I'll guarantee you that. A Prayerless Generation by a young preacher, precious young man from down in Independence, Alabama, at a school called Refuge Training Center. I'm telling you, he really preached. Well, we're going to share a song with you. Praise God, I'm going there. I know you'll enjoy the song, but I want you to listen to the sermon. I want you to listen with all you are and share it with everybody you know. It's very, very
before 8, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have a watch, so I'm going to preach. Amen. Amen. For those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Brother Jeremiah. I am the leader and one of the teachers and leaders over this school of ministry. I'm originally from Ohio. I'm 23 years old. I was born and raised in the house of the Lord. The Lord saved me at the age of 7 years old. He filled me with the Holy Ghost at the age of 10, and he called me to preach when I was 14. I've never done drugs, I've never smoked a cigarette, I've never drank alcohol, I've never been to a dance, never been to a party. I don't say any of that to boast, but I say that to let every young person on the face of the earth know that you don't need to go out there. I've been saved for 16 years now, and it's still just as good as it was when I got it 16 years ago. I got it when I was 7, I'm 23. Ain't nothing changed. I ain't changed. It's still as sweet. It's still as wonderful as it was when I was a kid, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all the people that have been delivered from drugs, that's been set free from alcohol. But I'm a living testimony that you don't got to go into drugs. You ain't got to go into alcohol. You don't need the worldly music. You don't need the worldly entertainment. But when you get a hold of God and you kill yourself, you deny yourself, you put yourself on the cross, you fall in love with a man named Jesus, you'll come to know that there ain't nothing in this world that'll ever compare to anything you felt when you came to this altar and you repented of your sins. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord on a Friday night. We've been going on tour for about 2.5 weeks now, about 2.5 to 3 weeks, and we have had revival everywhere we went. We started in Tennessee, went to Georgia, now we're North Carolina, and we're heading from here to Alabama, and then we're going over to Texas, and the Lord has just been doing wonderful things, and we're expecting nothing less. But I'm going to obey the Lord, and I'm going to preach to God's people tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to go to two places. I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30, Ezekiel 22 and 30, as well as 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Ezekiel 22 and 30 and 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And if you find that, if you're able to stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight. I believe the Lord has a purpose and a plan for this service, and I believe that what He wants to accomplish will be accomplished. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22 and 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, before the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I sought for a man among them, but I found none." The Bible reads in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their lands." You see, we love that verse. We love the ending. I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. But the Bible starts with a two-letter word. It says, if. If my people will do this, then this is what I will do. And I believe that's the generation we live in today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this service that we've had thus far, the presence of the Lord that we have felt in this house tonight. God, I pray that the anointing would come down in this place and destroy the yokes that have people bound, God. Destroy the yokes that are in this service, God. I pray your will to be accomplished. Hide us behind the cross. God, let your word be brought forth the way that you have placed it in my spirit. God, touch your children tonight. Encourage, strengthen, save those that are lost. Fill people with the Holy Ghost tonight. God, let your will be done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I want to preach real quick on the thought of a prayerless generation. A prayerless generation. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, if they shall humble themselves and pray. If they shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, then I will heal the lands. Then I will forgive their sin. Then will I hear from heaven. You see, I was praying one day, and I began to pray, and the Lord began to deal with me on how we live in such a generation with so much potential. So much potential to reach the lost for Christ. So much potential to do the will of God. With all the technology that's available, we have all this technology to reach across other nations and to the other continents and other worlds. We have transportation like never before to preach the gospel to so many people.
But though we live in the most potential generation since the day of Pentecost, we live in the most powerless generation since the day of Pentecost, because we live in a generation that no longer knows how to get on their face and seek the God of this universe. We live in a generation that likes emotions. Make me shout, singer. Make me shout, preacher. Make me feel good. They come to church to dance. They come to church to run. Make me feel good. Preach me happy, preacher. Sing me happy, singer. But we no longer know how to tarry in the altars. And we no longer know how to tarry in prayer. And I've come to tell you, the emotions is not going to cut it in this last days. It's going to take a group of men and women that know how to get on their face and seek the holy God of heaven. Hear me. The church in this generation is dying on its feet because we are no longer living on our knees. We are no longer living in a place of prayer. We try to get more methods, and the church tries to get more programs and more organizations and more all this stuff. The Lord, I've come to tell you, what we need more is not another fancy program, is not another organization, but we need men and women of God that know how to go back to their prayer closets, get on their face, and seek God for revival. Hear me. We don't need another revival service. You see, I believe that this generation needs to experience an old-fashioned Holy Ghost move of God. We need revival in this generation, and what we're doing now is not cutting it. We don't need no more pretty singing. We don't need no more fancy preaching. We need somebody that knows how to get on their knees and pray. God, send revival to this generation. God, send a move of God to this generation. Hear me. We've had singing and we've had preaching for thousands and thousands of years, but it's not cutting. The only thing that sends revival is a group of people that know how to pray. Woo! Hear me. We want people to come to our conferences. We want revival. We want all this stuff. It's not going to take to get some great man of God to come preach. No, but if the people in the house of God would bind together and get in one mind and one accord and seek the God of heaven, then and only then will revival come. Stay with me. I'm going to go on. You see, I begin to study revivals of times past. I begin to study on how revival happened on the day of Pentecost. What caused the Holy Ghost to fall? I begin to study, and the Bible talks about how there was 120 men that went in an upper room and prayed for 10 days. Prayed and fasted for 10 days, and then the Holy Ghost came. There was no singing. There was no preaching, just 10 days of prayer and fasting. And then the Holy Ghost fell and revival broke out and thousands were saved. Then I begin to study, okay, that was in the book of Acts. How in times past, a more closer time period, has revival happened? So I begin to go through history, and I came across the Azusa Street Revival. And I begin to study, now how did revival come to Azusa Street? And I found out it did not come by singing. It did not come by preaching. But it came when a group of people got in a little house on Bonnie Bray Street. And they began to pray and fast for 10 days. And after the 10th day of prayer and fast, revival broke loose. And they began to dance and shout. And the porch broke loose. And they had to move to Azusa Street. Because people started coming and getting born again. People started coming and getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, and healings were taking place. And then it hit me. That's what we've done wrong for so many years. We tried to sing it down. We tried to preach it down. That's not what the Bible says. You got to pray it down. You got to get on your knees and seek a holy God and pray the anointing of God. Send revival, God. Send revival in this generation. We need a move of God. You see, I'm thankful for our singing. But there's been many times that I've gotten up to preach and I wanted to get up and call and say, all right, there'll be no more singing. I'm not preaching tonight, but I'm going to have a prayer meeting. And for the next hour, we're going to do nothing but pray. I've always wanted to do that, but I'm afraid. Because I'm afraid when I do that, how many people are going to get up and leave? Because that doesn't sound exciting anymore. That doesn't sound entertaining anymore. This generation needs entertainment. They need something to make them happy. But I'll come to tell you, the only entertainment you need is when you get on your knees and feel the presence of a glorious Father fall on you. You see how I travel all over this country preaching. I travel all over. And growing up when I was a kid, we had what was called all-night prayer meetings. All the time. I would go, Grandma, where are you going? Oh, son, I'm going to all-night prayer meeting. You mean to tell me you're going to pray all night? Oh, yeah, we're going to pray all night. And as a child, I thought that was the most boringest thing I could ever think of, is go to church all night and pray. That just sounds so boring. Oh, but listen, when I was a little boy and I would walk through those back door sanctuary, and I'd walk in with my grandma by my hand. Oh, when she'd walk through those doors, something would hit her, and she'd dance up the aisle, and I'd say, Grandma, what just happened? Oh, we just had all-night prayer meeting last night. You should have been here. The Holy Ghost is now dwelling in the sanctuary. I've come to tell you, I don't know what happened to all-night prayer meetings in the house of God no more. We have singings, we have revivals, we have preachings, but where, oh, church, where is the prayer meetings? Where is the, oh, come on, youth group, we're not gonna go over there, we're not gonna go to the house and play games, we're not gonna go outside and play volleyball, we're gonna go in the sanctuary and have an all-night prayer meeting. Where'd they go, Pastor? Where'd the prayer meetings go? I'm thankful for the singing, but I need a woman of God that knows how to pray. I need a man of God that still knows how to get on their knees and seek his face. Where's the intercessors of the church? I said, where's the intercessors of the church? Oh, call me to preach. Call me to sing, God. Oh, but nobody wants to be called to intercessory prayer. Nobody wants to be called to prayer warriors no more. I've come to tell you, oh, God, before you ever call me to preach, before you ever call me to sing, call me to that prayer closet, and don't let me get up until I know what it's like to seek your faith. Woo! That's what we need tonight. We need a prayer meeting. This generation needs to know what it's like to steal away for hours and do nothing but pray. This generation needs to know what it's like to go farther than the emotion, to go deeper than the dance, deeper than the shout. They need to know what it's like to get lost in his presence in a prayer closet. Why in this generation has our walk with God turned into a crawl with God? I've never seen a group of people. I'm a youth pastor at my church, and I've never seen so many young people in and out. 1 minute they're in, the next minute they're out. 1 week they're saved, the next week they're backslid. I've never seen a generation like it in my life. I've never seen a group of young people, because when I got it at 7 years old, I got it. And when I fell in love with him, there was no turning around for me. There was no going back to anything for me, because when I got a hold of the real thing, I got a hold of the real thing. And I can't understand, and I look at them and I say, what do you mean you can't make it? What do you mean you're having a hard time making it? Do you not have the same Holy Ghost that I have? Does he not dwell in you like he dwells in me? You see, why do we live in a generation where people can't seem to find the victory anymore? People come in so defeated, so down and out, so depressed. Where's the victory? Why do we live with a group of people that no longer knows the victory in God? And then it hit me. Billy Sunday says this: he that is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. We have lived and moved to a generation that is a stranger to prayer. And because they are a stranger to prayer, they are a stranger to victory. They are a stranger to power. They don't know anymore what it's like to live in supernatural victory. They don't know what it's like to live in the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, I begin to study in the Word of God, David. And the Bible talks about how David in the Old Testament was trying to move the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. So what he did was, the Bible said, he put it on the back of oxen. And it wasn't very long until he realized that's not what God wanted to be done. And they went to touch it, and when it, because it was falling off, and they went to touch it. And when they did, they were immediately stricken dead. So David stopped everything and shut everything down and began to think, how am I supposed to get this Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem? And then he did what a lot of church people today need to do. He began to study, okay, how did they move the Ark of the Covenant back in the old days? How did the priests move the Ark of the Covenant? Because what I'm doing isn't working. So how did they? And it didn't take very long until he realized that he had everything wrong. You don't put it on the back of oxen. You put it on the back of the Leviticus priests, and they will carry the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. So they put it on the back of them. They walked 6 steps, and the Bible said David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Hear me. For years and years, we have had the Ark of the Covenant in our churches and thinking, how am I supposed to get this back? How are we supposed to have revival like they used to? How are we supposed to have a move of God like they used to? I've heard about it all my life. I've heard about them carrying them out in the Spirit. I've heard about the dead getting up. I've heard about the blinded eyes seeing. I've heard about them shouting in the doors, shouting out the doors. How are we supposed to get back to what they experienced? So generations have come, and we say, okay, well, maybe we'll bring in some dance teams. Maybe that'll help. Maybe we'll bring in some fog machines. Maybe we'll change up the music a little. Maybe we'll let down some standards. Maybe that will get more people in. That'll do it. And what we've learned is that's not going to cut it. What we've learned is we're still in the same position where we were before, because that's not what it's going to take to have what they had back then. But it's got to go back to a group of people that know how to get on their face and pray. Woo! Ishataya Mahataya. Where's the prayer warriors at? When's the last time you heard of a 15-year-old saying, I'm going to be a prayer warrior? But somewhere along the line, we've messed the thing up. Oh, you need to be a preacher. You need to be a pastor. You need to be a singer. I'm thankful for the singers. I'm thankful for the pastors. I'm thankful for the preachers. But oh God, where's the prayer warriors? Where's the prayer warrior? Woo! You want the dead to get up? Your singing ain't gonna cut it. You better know how to pray. You want revival in this generation? Your preaching isn't gonna cut it. You better know how to pray. Woo! Hear me. I begin to read in the book of Ezra, and the Bible says that they begin to build the temple of Zerubbabel. And it had been years, years since the temple of Solomon had been torn down. So in the book of Ezra, they begin to build the temple of Zerubbabel. And the Bible says that when they had laid the foundation of the temple of Zerubbabel, that the young men begin to dance. The young men begin to glorify and magnify God because the temple is being erected again. Because the temple is coming back. Because it's been so many years since the temple of Solomon had been destroyed. But while the young men was dancing and glorifying God, the Bible says the elders, the old priests, were in the back of that temple crying, weeping, because they remembered the foundation of the old temple. Because they remembered the glory that fell in that old temple. You see, that glory that fell in the temple of Solomon wasn't the same glory that was fallen in the temple of Zerubbabel. And now we've got a generation that's dancing, that's coming to church, that's singing, that's running, and we've got our elders on the back weeping and crying and saying, no, no, that's not the same glory that I felt when I was young. No, no, that's not the same move of God that I remember when I was young. No, no, that's not right. You're doing it all wrong. I've come to tell you, we need the glory that fell on the day of Pentecost. Nothing else is going to cut it. Nothing else is going to do. We've got to have the glory that fell in the upper room. We try to come up with our own glory. We try to come up with our own methods. Maybe this will bring revival. Maybe no. We need a group of people that know God sent revival. God, we need revival. Hear me, young people. I don't care how pretty you sing. I don't care how wonderful you preach. Show me where you pray. Show me where you pray. And if you can't show me where you pray, I don't want to hear you sing. I don't want to hear you preach. We've got to the place now where we don't think it's the anointing. It's the anointing. I don't know about you, but we may live in 2016, but the anointing still destroys the yoke. The anointing still destroys the yoke. Hear me, church. Shima na 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 ma. I don't know if you feel what I just felt, but the King of Kings then walked through these doors. Don't give me your fancy singing. Don't give me your fancy preaching. Give me the anointing. Give me the anointing. It still heals the sick. It still raises the dead. Paul Creek Ministries, we don't need another revival. We need a prayer meeting. We don't need no more singing. We need a prayer meeting. In an atmosphere like this, anything can happen. Hear me. In an atmosphere like this, the dead can get up. The sick can be healed. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why are you preaching this? Why are you so hard? Church, we live in a generation that's going to hell, and the only thing that's going to stop them is a man that'll stand in the hedge, a man that'll make up the gap. And I sought for a man. I didn't seek for a man to preach. I didn't seek for a man to sing. But I sought for a man that would stand in the gap. I sought for a man that would make up the hedge. Someone that would stand between heaven and hell and say, devil, you can't have him. Someone that would stand on the brink of the fire and say, no, you can't have my son. You can't have my daughter. This is what brings revival. This is what brings souls to repentance. This is what brings people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a group of people that intercede in the Spirit. Come on, there's no need for me to keep preaching right now. The Holy Ghost has just spoke. Revival's right where he left it. Right where we left it. Woo! Shina na 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 maha. Back in our prayer closets. Shina na 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 na. You want your children saved? Pray. Hallelujah. You want your grandchildren saved? Pray. You want your mommy and daddy saved? Pray. You want revival? Pray. We don't need no song. We don't need no music. We just need to know how to pray. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Oh, na 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 mahata.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Holy Spirit of God. Holy Ghost, have your way. Come on, church. This is the kind of atmosphere that breaks chains, that breaks yokes. This is the kind of atmosphere that heals the sick. Glory. There's no better way than to start off this conference like we are right now. Pray into a God in heaven. Come on, come on. Hear me. When you read the Bible, when you read the Bible, you read about a man of prayer. You read about Jesus himself. The Bible says all throughout the Bible, it says he went out a great while before day and he prayed. All throughout his ministry, you find him praying. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. While on the cross, he prayed. And when he was about to leave this world, those disciples came to him. And they didn't say, Lord, teach me how to preach. Lord, show me how to sing. Lord, teach me how to open blinded eyes. No. They said, oh, Father, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Because they knew the power only came from his prayer life. Woo! Prayer has divided seas. Prayer has rolled up flowing rivers. It has made rocks gush into fountains. It has quenched flames of fire. It has muzzled lions' mouths. Prayer has disarmed vipers and poisons. Prayer has stopped the course of the moon. It has arrested the sun in its pace. Prayer has bursted open iron gates. It has released souls from eternity. Prayer has conquered the strongest devils. Prayer has brought one man from the bottom of the sea and carried another man in a chariot of fire to heaven. Prayer has taken this sinful, wretched boy and turned him into a man of God. I've come to tell you, tell me, what can prayer not do? Prayer does everything. So I want to ask you, if prayer truly does everything, why doesn't the church pray more? Prayer still casts out the devils. Prayer still heals the sick. Prayer still raises the dead. Prayer still gets souls saved. But it's the least thing done in the house of God. But hear me tonight. At this youth conference, hear me, every young person, middle-aged and old. The church of Jesus Christ better get back to prayer. We better get back to know how to get on our knees and seek his face. When's the last time that he woke you up in the middle of the night to pray? When's the last time you couldn't go to sleep because he burdened you with souls? When's the last time you couldn't go to sleep because all you could do was weep and cry and go into prayer? It wouldn't be nothing for me to go visit my grandmother and hear her all night long in the back of that bedroom praying. Oh, hear me. I wish we had speakers on top of this church so everyone in this world could hear. The church is falling apart because we no longer know how to pray. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm about to close, but we're already in the altar call right now. We're already in the altar call right now, but hear me. I want to say this before I close. Pastor, I begin to study them great men of God. Them great men of God. When asked the secret of his spiritual power, Charles Spurgeon replied to them, knee work, knee work. You gotta go back to knee work. Charles Finney, after spending a day in the woods with nothing but prayer and fasting, preached that night under such conviction and power that by halfway through his message, souls were running to the altar in repentance. And afterwards, they came to him and said, "How did that happen?" And he replied, he said, "It only comes by prayer and fasting." James Duncan, preaching with great unction and power, was asked, "What is the secret power of such powerful preaching?" The secret, he said, was 13 hours of consecutive prayer. Oh, you say that's crazy. I say it's the only thing that works. You say that's for the times past. I say it's the only thing that works. It's the only thing that works. We tried everything else. Our singing hasn't done it. Our preaching hasn't done it. There's still a lost generation going to hell. There's still no revival. Woo! Because we need to go back to prayer. Hear me, young people. The old saints are leaving one by one, and they pass down a torch of prayer. The torch that can't be dropped, a torch that can't be thrown to the side, a torch of prayer that we've got to keep and hold on to. Hey, mama. They're going to sing tonight. And I'm closing. I have a whole bunch more to preach, but I'm done. But I want everyone in this house to find a place to pray. If you aren't saved, this altar's open. You can receive salvation. If you don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, this altar's open. You can be baptized tonight with the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you need a healing, these altars are open. We'll pray for you. The Lord can heal you tonight. But I want everyone in this house to come to these altars and find a place to pray. God, teach me to pray. God, burden me to pray. God, burden me to pray. Keep me up all night long, but burden me to pray. Woo!
Searching for someone. to search no further. I'll be the one, yes, I'll be the one. Oh, I'll be the one. You don't have to search no further. I'll be the one, oh. For someone who will stand in the gap, and you've been searching for someone who will give you their all,
but they cannot see the trouble I faced not so very long ago. Well, to comprehend this joy that's within, there's something they need to know. Well, I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of the dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Well, I used to feel trouble. My sorrows were doubled as the burdens of life held me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed, then His tender mercy I found. And though life is rough, I'm not giving up, even when I'm tested and I'm tried. I'll not waste time doubting, I'm gonna go on shouting. I cross to the winning side. Well, I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Well, I have been saved from the flames.